Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gem Resource Recycling Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra from DAM Capital. Please, thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Gem Resource Recycling Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Kamlesh Jain, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Mayank Parikh, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Hemant Jain, Executive Director and CFO, Mr. Sanchit Jain, Executive Director. Without taking any more time, I would hand it over to Mr. Kamlesh Jain for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek, and a very good day to everyone. Welcome to Gem Resource Recycling Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. I'm Kamlesh Jain, Chairman and Managing Director of the company. Joining me today are Mr. Mayank Parikh, Joint MD, Mr. Hemant Jain, Executive Director and CFO, Mr. Sanchit Jain, Executive Director, along with other senior members of our management team and our investor relations advisors, SGA. Thank you all for taking the time to join us and for your continued interest and confidence in Gem Resource Recycling. We are pleased to start FY27 on a strong note with healthy growth across our business and continued progress on our strategic initiatives. During Q1 FY27, our consolidated revenue from operations stood at approximately rupees 2,725 crores, representing a year-on-year growth of approximately 76%. EBITDA stood at approximately rupees 110 crores, registering a year-on-year growth of approximately 22%, while PAT at approximately rupees 69 crores, representing a YoY growth of approximately 23%. Our performance reflects the resilience of our core recycling operations, strong growth in copper volumes, and the initial contribution from our value-added copper products. While margins are impacted by evolving product mix and ramp-up phase of our new value-added business, we remain focused on improving the quality of our earnings through greater value addition, better product mix, and improved capacity utilization as this business scales up. Before discussing our business performance, I would like to briefly update you on the incident at our Unit 2 facility following the furnace accident on 14 July 2026 at our Gummidipundi plant, which tragically resulted in the loss of one contract worker and injuries to a few others. We immediately prioritized employee welfare and extended support to the affected families and worked closely with the relevant authorities. After completing the required assessment and corrective actions, approval was received on 27 July 2026 to resume the operation at Unit 2. Normal operation has now started. The insurance claim is under settlement, and we expect the recovery of substantially the full extent of the damage under our insurance policies. Safety remains our highest priority, and we continue to strengthen safety system and process across our operation. Moving to our broader business performance, our growth agenda continues to be anchored on two key objectives: driving volumes and enhancing profitability. Our core recycling business provides scale and sourcing strength and a robust raw material platform, while our forward integration initiatives are focused on increasing value addition, improving product mix, and enhancing the profitability per ton. Copper remains our greatest strategic focus area. During Q1 FY27, copper and copper products contributed 67% of our consolidated revenue compared with 55% in FY26. This reflects strong growth in copper volumes as well as initial contribution from our value-added copper portfolio and reinforces our efforts to build a more integrated copper value chain. During the quarter, we successfully commissioned the copper anode facility and have already sold around 600 tons of copper anodes since commissioning, and the ramp-up production is progressing in line with our expectation and project roadmap. We also continue to make steady progress across our copper cathodes, copper wire rod, copper busbar, and profiles, antimony, and plastic recycling project, with execution broadly tracking the timelines and milestones communicated earlier too. In addition, we have commenced trial production at our Ahmedabad joint venture facility and advanced our Kuwait strategic investment despite certain logistic-related delays because of the West Asia war crisis. These initiatives strengthen our value-added product portfolios that deepen integration across our recycling ecosystem and position us well for the next phase of growth. Looking ahead, we remain encouraged by the long-term outlook for the non-ferrous metal recycling industry. The increasing focus on sustainable manufacturing, circular economy practices, and resource efficiency and decarbonization continues to drive demand for recycled metal and support industry growth. Our global source network diversified product portfolio and strategically located facilities, in-house technology capabilities, and disciplined commodity risk management provides a strong foundation of future growth. Increasingly, supply chain conditions are improving, and we expect inventory levels to build up over the coming quarters, enabling a smooth ramp-up of production and supporting our growth trajectory. As we move through FY27, our priorities remain clear: ramping up newly commissioned capacities, executing our growth project, restoring the affected unit to share in a safe and compliant manner, maintaining the working capital discipline, and improving the quality of earnings. Then I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Mayank Parekh, who will take you through the project execution updates in greater details. Ladies and gentlemen, over to you, Mayank.
Thank you, Kamalji, and good day to everyone. Let me take you through the key project execution updates and operational priorities for the coming quarters. Starting with our copper value-added products initiative under Gem Green Technologies, we successfully commissioned the entire copper anode production line during quarter one financial year 2027. Both furnaces are now operational, taking installed capacity to 1,600 metric tons per month, and the production ramp-up is underway. The copper cathode project has completed civil construction and remains on track for phase one commissioning in quarter two FY27. The project will have an installed capacity of 1,500 metric tons per month. Our copper wire rod project, with an installed capacity of 600 metric tons per month, and copper busbar and profile project, with an installed capacity of 1,500 tons per month, are both expected to be commissioned in quarter three financial year 2027. Collectively, these projects will significantly expand our downstream copper portfolio and strengthen our ability to serve customers across multiple segments of the copper value chain. Moving to specialty metal, the antimony project remains on schedule for commissioning in quarter three financial year 2027. The project has a planned processing capacity of 1,000 metric tons of lead antimony bullion, with expected output of approximately 100 metric tons per month. This initiative will enhance value recovery from our lead recycling operations while broadening our product portfolio. At our Ahmedabad joint venture with CNY Group Investment Incorporation, trial productions have commenced and operations are expected to stabilize during quarter two financial year 2027. The facility is designed to process approximately 72,000 tons of copper-bearing scrap annually and produce around 25,000 tons of copper products once fully ramped up. We expect this facility to further strengthen our sourcing and processing capabilities within the copper ecosystem. With respect to our dedicated plastic recycling facility, we have finalized approximately 6 acres of land for the project. The facility is expected to become operational in quarter three FY27 and involves an estimated investment of approximately Rs. 15 crores. Apart from expanding our recycling platform, it will also improve operational efficiency by relocating plastic recycling activities from our existing facilities. Turning to our Kuwait strategic investment, project implementation continues, although shipment of machinery has been impacted by the prevailing geopolitical situation in West Asia. The machinery is ready to dispatch, and we continue to closely monitor developments. Subject to normalization of the shipping conditions, we expect the investment to begin contributing from Q3, financial year 2027 onwards. The project remains strategically important from both the raw material security and regional presence perspectives. Overall, our project pipeline continues to advance broadly in line with our expectations. While certain timelines have been affected by the external logistics disruptions, the underlying execution momentum remains intact. As these projects move from commissioning into commercialization, our focus will remain on safe execution, disciplined capital allocation, efficient capacity utilization, and delivering sustainable returns from the investment being made. With that, I will now hand over the call to our CFO and Director of Finance, Mr. Hemant Jain, who will take you through the financial performance for the quarter. Hemant, over to you.
Thank you, Mayank sir, and good day, everyone. I will now take you through the financial performance for Q1 FY27 with the key financial metrics. So for Q1 FY27, we have started with a strong financial growth. Consolidated revenue from operations for Q1 stood at around 2,724 crores compared to 1,549 crores in the Q1 of FY26, which represents a year-on-year growth of approximately 76%. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 109 crores compared to 90 crores in the Q1 FY26, representing a year-on-year growth of approximately 22%. Now the EBITDA margin stood at approximately 4% compared to 5.8% in Q1 FY26 and 3.5% in the Q4 FY26. While EBITDA margin moderated on a year-on-year basis, it's improved by approximately 48 basis points subsequently from Q4 FY26. The modernization compared with Q1 FY26 was primarily driven by the evolving product mix and initial ramp-up of our value-added copper business. As this projects progress from commissioning to higher utilization levels, we expect the product mix to progressively improve and support our margin profile. Profit after tax for the Q1 stood at approximately 69 crores compared with approximately 56 crores in Q1 of FY26, which represents a year-on-year growth of around 23%. Coming to PAT margin, which stood at approximately 2.5% during the quarter compared to 3.6% in Q1 FY26. Now, profit after tax from continuing operations stood at around 69 crores compared to 57 crores in Q1 FY26. From a revenue mix perspective, copper and copper products contributed approximately 67% of the consolidated revenue during Q1 FY27, and lead and lead alloy ingots contributed approximately 29%, while aluminum and aluminum alloys contributed approximately 3%, with the balance coming from the other activities. This represents a clear evolution in our product mix, with copper increasingly becoming the largest contributor to the overall business. We believe this shift, combined with the increasing contribution from the value-added projects, is an important part of our long-term strategy. During this quarter, our consolidated EBITDA margin, which stood at around 4%, at the segment level, reported copper EBITDA per ton includes initial quantities manufactured under value-added products portfolio. As utilization improves across the value-added copper projects, we expect the benefits of greater value addition and improved product mix to become increasingly visible in our financial performance. Coming to the return ratios, as on June 26, the return on equities stood at approximately 22.8%, while return on capital employed stood at approximately 21.4%. We continuously focus on maintaining working capital efficiency as the business scales. Given the nature of our recycling operations, working capital is required to support raw material procurement, inventory, and customer receivables. Our sourcing network, commodity hedging mechanism, and disciplined working capital management remains important tools in navigating commodity price cycles. As on June 26, the company reported inventory days to approximately 55 days and debtor days approximately 19, while the creditor days is minus 14, resulting in a working capital cycle of approximately 60 days. We remain focused on maintaining discipline across inventory, receivables and payables while supporting the growth of the business. On the balance sheet front, the company continues to maintain a strong capital base following the IPO and remain focused on deploying capital towards projects that support long-term value creation. For FY27, we expect a total capital expenditure outlay of approximately 87 crores. The majority of this investment is directed towards ongoing copper value-added project, antimony project, and the plastic recycling facilities. These investments are aligned with our strategy of increasing value addition, improving product mix, and enhancing long-term profitability. We remain committed to a disciplined approach to capital allocation with a continuous focus on a project execution, returns, and balance sheet strength. With that, I would like to conclude my remarks and request the moderator to open the floor for the questions. Over to you, Abhishek.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Raj Shah from Fident AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the EBITDA margins in the lead and the copper business. So EBITDA margins from the peak of close to 10% in lead business have declined to around 7.5%. Now we are, I think, for the last two quarters at 7.5%. So how do you see this moving in the next, next three quarters and for the full year for lead? And for copper also, I mean, our margins have declined from close to 5.5%. This quarter, we saw some improvement to 2.5%. So how do you see this moving going forward?
The margin got affected because of some West Asia war crisis, where the raw material shortages come and we have to buy expensive material locally also, and we also have to import some expensive material to get our production target. I think some lead margins fall, but this will be offset overall by copper value-added product. So I feel that whatever the margin fall you are seeing, because the volume has gone up, if you compare to like 2 years back or 3 years back, the volumes are going up. So more the volume, higher the volume, little lower margin to get a better profits and the better revenue overall. So I feel this fall in the margin will be offset will by copper products, which are coming, related products this year coming, and other extraction of the tin and antimony from the lead. So I hope this year we'll have a better margin. Hemant, do you want to add anything in this?
That's fine. You have already clarified it. See, in this business, basically the margin which you are seeing at the percentage of revenue is actually not the right criteria, where we see usually the EBITDA per ton basis. Yes, the percentage margin will increase as and when the volume grows, volume increases, and there's a better consumption of the expenses and other things.
That I understand. So we were at close to 36,000 kind of EBITDA per ton in the copper segment. I think couple of quarters we are at close to 30,000. I think we did for 15,000 in March and close to 30,000 this quarter. So that's what I'm asking. So will we see an improvement in EBITDA per ton, because our majority of the capacities will come towards the end of the year? So will they contribute enough to improve our EBITDA per ton for this year, or will we see a decline as compared to last year?
Yeah, this year, this year there will be improve in the EBITDA margin because of the value-added product. I expect the production to be streamlined by second quarter end or third quarter beginning, where the value-added products are going to be started. It's under commissioning now, trial and all going on. So I feel we'll have better improvement in the copper EBITDA margin, Right now, see, this year, I think 32 rupees copper we have there. That is average margin up to the copper ingots. But once we cross the ingot stage and go for the other value product, the EBITDA will be surely going up as predicted earlier also. So I totally agree that this year we'll have better margin. There's no doubt in the copper. And that will, overall margins of the company will get improved. Because lead, our value-added products are not there. What are we doing is, because the lead in the value-added product only battery manufacturing. If I want to make another product, next stage is battery manufacturing, which is not our forte. And the reverse side, and the reverse scrap direct sourcing. So there is nothing backward in the lead, only forward is battery manufacturing. So here lead, we are only increasing capacities this year also. But when you increase capacities, definitely we have to compromise a little on the margin to get better, more raw materials. And just to clarify, one more thing is that because of the pressure of the West Asia crisis and raw material challenges, we have developed in-house, I mean, local sourcing. India sourcing has gone up substantially. Yemen can tell you the percentage of the India sourcing got substantially. And that we came out of our comfort zone while sourcing the material from overseas, and we developed a huge sourcing network in India, and I expect this will be increasing month on month. And also, once the West Asia crisis is over, there is tons of material ready for recycling, and it will come to us without any doubt once this crisis can be settled. And I also believe that there are alternate ports are getting open in the other part of the Middle East countries where these recycling more metal is going to come. So this year I feel there is a strong quarter ahead. Not now, maybe other quarters which are strong. I'm expecting that. Can we go for next question, please?
Just last question from in the lead, what kind of capacity are we going to increase from close to 185,000 which we were at March 26 for this year?
I think mine, can you answer this?
So we have been working on a project to add the capacity. It is almost done. The approval is pending. So it is going to add between 15% and 20% to the existing capacity.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Abhishek Mehra from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So just wanted to understand a few things on the lead segment. So what would be the volume guidance for the lead segment in FY27 and 28? Now, since we did 184,000 tons in FY26, and now I understand that volumes would be a little lower in Q2 considering we had the furnace incident. So what would be the volume guidance in lead segment for FY27 and 28, and particularly for copper as well? Yeah, that would be my first question.
So first question is about this incident happened in the incident. There won't be much impact of, I think, when we closure of the furnaces, which will have not much impact on production because we have enough sufficient additional capacity we always keep, and this year we are also expanding. So because of the incident, there won't be any impact on the production side. It will cover up in the long run, in the current year run, so that won't be an impact. There's a small 1 week closure with one impact, and there's also 1 week we have done the maintenance work and of the furnaces and all, so that is what allowed. So we have all the maintenance shutdown we have taken and repair the regular maintenance. So I don't think any problem is going to come. This year, the improvement of lead production, mind they just said that 15% is expecting to improve the lead production and additional capacities can be created. So that is one. For the copper, yes, we are on the streamline, and as we already told my speech, that copper, we have the copper cathode plant, and so this year, whatever we have projected last year is going to come. Mind, do you want to say on the copper anything or on your additional capacities?
Hello?
Mind, do you want to say anything on copper capacities?
Okay. Sorry, the voice was cracking. I suppose you asked me to comment on the capacities on the copper.
Yes.
So, on copper side, the value addition plan that we are in the process of implementing, here the anode capacity has already been put up, and cathode is going to, it has been almost installed and going to be commissioned. and cathode will add to the not only volume but also the additional margins. And added to that are copper profile and copper bus bar production lines, which will again add to the bottom line.
Okay. Just a follow up on this. Are we looking for a volume growth in FY27 and 28, or are we maintaining our volumes in FY27 for copper and lead, particularly?
Thank
you. So on lead and copper side, there is definitely going to be some volume increase, but in the later part of the year, there is definitely going to be value addition in the copper products because the new project will be up and running.
Okay. And any volume growth per se that you can guide for FY27 and 28 in particular for lead and copper volume front? I'm asking.
So one thing that we are projecting is that there is going to be volume growth in the light of the international disturbances going on. Commenting on the giving the guidance on the percentage of growth would be slightly premature at this stage.
Sure, sir. Okay, no problem. And so just last one on the copper value added segment. So what is the EBITDA per ton that we are guiding for FY27 and FY28, and particularly on the quarterly front, what is the anode volumes that we did this quarter, since there is an improvement in the blended copper EBITDA per ton? So just wanted to kind of understand that. What is the volumes of anode that we did this quarter?
So we have done a few hundred tons of anode this quarter. I don't have exact data with me. Hemant may comment on this. But we have started both the furnaces. Initially, there were hiccup problems. And we have done a few hundred tons, maybe close to 1,000 or something like that.
So the exact numbers of anode production this month was around 600 metric ton, which was added to the revenue. But coming to the EBITDA per ton, as it was an initial setup and the plant is in a stabilizing mode, it has not contributed much to the EBITDA per ton, but obviously it will add now numbers to the EBITDA per ton in the Q2.
Okay, sir. And what would be the EBITDA per ton guidance for the value-added segment for 27 and 28?
So on an average, the value-added project happens in full swing, it on an average, because partially would be sale of cathode and partially would be sale of bus bar and profiles, on an average it would add 2% to the existing margin of copper to on the volume that we do in the value-added plant.
Sure, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. That answers my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Disha Chamria from Tanith Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Oh, yes. You need to be a little louder, Disha.
Sure. Good morning and thank you for the opportunity. The copper cathode and wire rod project, which is expected to commence in the phase one, by quarter 2 FY27. Could you help us understand the expected ramp-up timeline and what is like customer qualification process, what asset turnovers and EBITDA margin do you guide for these facilities when it reaches the steady-state utilization, sir?
Mind, will you take this?
So, on the EBITDA, I just responded to the previous question. As far as the volume is concerned, now the cathode facility of 750 tons is almost ready. And this will take around a month to start. and this will be the immediate copper cathode volume that we can expect.
And what about the customer qualification process? Like, are we going to see the same customer concentration with this higher volume copper products, or is it new customers going to add and contribute to this?
No, it is going to be mostly new customers with whom we have already started doing our homework. In fact, we have got in principle go ahead from many customers, but they are mostly going to be different from our existing segments.
Got it, sir. And the last question is on the upcoming recycled content mandate that is going to be starting from FY28, and it seems to be like a structural tailwind for the industry. Have you already started engaging with customers on compliance, and do you expect this regulation to improve the pricing power or primarily just drive higher volumes from it?
Your voice is echoing. You said something starting from 2028.
Yes, sir.
What exactly did you ask? What is starting from 2028?
The question is not clear. Can you just speak? Can you maybe clearly what you're asking?
Yes, sir. I'll repeat my question again. So the recycling mandate that the from the government side that is going to be starting and from the FY28. So it's
what thing is going to start from 28? Your voice is not very clear. What thing is going to start from 28?
Recycling mandate, sir.
Recycling mandate.
Do you understand?
One second. Recycling mandate.
Okay. The provisions of the hazardous management rule. No. So it is the recycled content that the government has defined, starting from 5% in various products. That is what you are asking.
Yes, sir. If I'm not wrong,
okay.
It's from FY28, right?
Yes, it got it. So, by virtue of the recent amendment that the government brought in through the amendment in hazardous waste management rules, many industries, including the cable industries, conductor industries, utensil industries, and so on, are required to have at least 5% of the recycled content. So this is definitely going to increase the demand of the recycled material, and we would definitely be a beneficiary of this. So it is a good development to go to 10% in the subsequent years.
Okay, and what do you expect this regulation to improve, like the pricing power, or is it going to be primarily drive the higher volumes?
Both, because higher volumes, because the local scrap comes into recycling with this. Regulation, the local scrap comes into organized recycling. So that adds to the volume, and definitely if there is a demand of recycled product, higher demand of recycled product, it adds to some margin.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Darshil from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question, sir. Sir, wanted to understand, like, you know, we are adding a lot of capacities right now, right? So, sir, just a vision in terms of how do you see our FY28 volumes can look at, sir? I understand on a near term, there is a lot of West Asia crisis and everything is going on, sir. But in FY28, with so much capacity coming in, like, you know, multiple value-add capacity coming in, how do you see our company performing, sir? If you could give some kind of, you know, target in terms of at least EBITDA margins in the last two quarters have suffered, right, sir? So what is your aim, like, if you can. I'm not saying give a
I got a question.
Yeah,
I got a question. See, one thing you have to understand the nature of this business, the nature of the recycling business. So like you said this, that your EBITDA margin got affected last quarter. Now, this is the very common wrong perception about this business. The problem is that in this business, you can't see one quarter profit or one quarter EBITDA margin. For example, we buy the metal in the month of January from US or the part of the world, and the metal ship in the month of February, and the metal come to the plant in the month of March. So 1 month we do the contract and they ship the material 30 to 60 days the metal to reach to the plant. So the metal reach in the month of March end or by April beginning. And then we produce the material by April end, 30 days for purchase production, and dispatch to material to May to China or local buyer. So total the cycle get over in 6 months cycle. Now what happened is because the hedging impact are always there, and we have to book the profit on the last day of that financial or the particular quarter closing. So sometimes the margin gets impacted, but does not mean that the margins fall. And you see this quarter again the copper EBITDA was going back to the normal. So there is no impact on the margins, there is no impact on business model. It's only the quarter to quarter fluctuation because of the nature of the business. So you have to always see two quarter combined result, it will match. In fact, even if you study the last four quarters of last year, the first two quarters you have to do average, the last quarter you have to do average, it will match the entire year average also. So EBITDA is not getting fluctuated at all. It is the way of you seeing the financial data. And the perception which you are building has to be aligned with the nature of the business. So that is one thing which I have clarified, that there is no impact on the EBITDA margin or on the business model. It's all same. Yes. Second is the West Asia crisis. Yes, it is. It is actually has impacted the raw material supplies to a certain extent. But this also push us to go out of a different zone. And that is where we have developed a lot of local supplies and a lot of network in India to get the raw material. And I strongly believe that once this crisis gets solved or a little bit even cooled down, and they're also finding alternate ports to ship their metal to India. This will actually become a blessing in disguise in the longer run where more metal is expected, because they develop a huge network of local now, and then we are sort of expecting more metal. The metal piled up for last 2 years in Kuwait and Saudis and many other countries in the Middle East is going to flow like anything, and we have building capacities for already kept ready for this raw material to come in. So number three point about the all the expansion what you have talking. Yes, we are expanding various fields and multi-metals, and if and EBITDA margin has already been guided, but it's premature to talk now on the how much EBITDA we are going to expect in this all the expansion get over. But one thing you have to understand that this business, you cannot see quarter to quarter growth. This business, you cannot see every quarter to quarter comparison, because when we are not doing a trading business here where the quarter to quarter profit can come or the revenue can go up. The business requires a lot of capex and the fundamentals of putting the new products. And in that process of the longer run, so suppose we have decided to put this plant of copper last year, and this year we are doing, we are reaching 15 months in trial stage. So we started the last construction month last April, and this year we have started now to completing the trial production. So you can understand that it taken 15 months to put the capex, it got the necessary regulatory approvals from the MOEF, State Government Pollution Department. There are many departments involved, and the file gets slowly moving India, and that's why it takes time to complete the project and start. So I have strong quarters ahead in next 2 years, and I step by step every plan to start. We'll do a trial, customer marketing will set up, raw material supply will set up, and then the profit start. Initially, the preliminary expenditure, initial kharcha bhi hote hai. All those things will impact. But in the long run, yes, this will grow. If you see the history of the company of last 10 years data also, we have 1 or 2 years even flat growth. But the third and fourth year become double the turnover. So we have double the turnover. In particular, 1 year also we double the turnover many times. And with a flat growth of 1 or 2 years. But if you see average cycle of 3 years, yes, we have grown by 40-50% CAGR in the last 10 years, average. But year-on-year growth, sometimes flat, sometimes double, and sometimes 30-40% depends on the plant execution. So we have many plants, and there are some more expansion strategies are happening, which is confidential in nature. It cannot be disclosed, but right time it will get disclosed, and the company is on the right path of expanding multi-metals and various products. I hope this satisfies your question.
Yes, thank you so much for such an elaborate answer. Helps a lot of, sir. So just like one small question from my end. Maybe this is too naive, sir, but I just wanted to understand, last year Q1 our copper margins were around 40,000 per ton. Right now it's 31,000 per ton. So what is an average state that we can take in, sir? Because you said that judge it more by EBITDA per ton. So how do we see
so it? So last year, if you see the last year average, I think 32,000 to 34,000. I think, human, can you clarify what was the last year EBITDA per ton in copper?
So last year annual average was around 36,000 per ton. And
yeah, but that would have a very bad Q4, right, sir? Because Q4 was 13,000.
Again, you're not giving my answer. I don't think it's not a bad Q4 at all. It is the 2-quarter average. The raw material start and the finished product sales get over. It is 2-quarter average. It is not a bad quarter.
But
the wrong
we would have inventory, right? So if it was 30,000 last year average, Q1 it is 31,000. With more value-added products, how do you see rough range? Sir, I'm not saying, you know, give me an exact number, but there has been some decline.
Last question, mind already explained that 2% he expected the beta to go up by doing value-added product, which in the current year, in what, which quarter will start and which quarter will get stabilized. That is the return predict now. But already mind has replied this. 2% is going to go up in copper beta after the value added product gets stabilized.
So that in EBITDA per ton, how much would that be?
Around, let's say, 25 rupees approximately.
So 25 rupees, right?
Approximately,
yeah.
You cannot be saying.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Approximation is okay, sir. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Priyanshu Chauhan from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, team. Sir, my first question is with regard to regulatory impact from hazardous waste management rule or battery waste management rule. So, how much volume growth are we expecting, or are we seeing any improvement in the domestic scrap availability? And my second question is with respect to what is the price differentiation between the domestic scrap versus imported scrap for copper and lead? Thank you.
I'll reply your second question first. The price difference is subject to many other market conditions and demand supply and the logistic movement and the LME at what level. So there is no state formula for the price difference between local and this one. Mostly the local prices are loosely linked with the LME prices, and import prices are completely linked with the LME prices. So here you cannot decide what will be local price. As and when we get opportunity, we buy the material. As and when we have shortages of raw material, we buy locally and we offset our purchases. There's no fixed formula. Then first question, Mayank, can you take this question?
So you mentioned the two statutes. One is the battery waste management rules, and second is the hazardous waste management rule. So a couple of years ago, in the battery waste management rule, the government mandated that the manufacturers of battery must ensure that the end of the life battery is recollected by them and must be recycled by the registered recyclers. So, in the similar lines, by virtue of the recent amendment in the hazard waste management rules, the government has mandated for 3 non-ferrous items, copper, aluminium and zinc, that the manufacturers of 2022 finished products, which includes cable and electrical assemblies and conductor, blah, 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 those manufacturers are mandated to ensure to collect the end of the life items and ensure that those end of the life items are recycled by the registered recyclers. At the same time, in this statute, there has been another addition that producers of these products have been mandated to use the recycled aluminium or copper or zinc to the extent of 5% starting from 28 and then 10%. So this I have given you the background. Now the impact of this is definitely going, one, the availability of the scrap is going to increase because the manufacturers themselves have been given responsibility to collect the end of the life items and give it to the registered recyclers. Registered recyclers means the organized channel to which we belong to. So domestic availability of recyclable scrap definitely goes up. And because of the other situation in the hazardous management rule, it definitely impacts some price value addition in copper because the demand of recycled product increases. Now, to quantify it at this stage is slightly difficult because mandating 5% mandatory use of recycled product in overall country, how much we are going to get benefited with this, estimating this is slightly difficult at this stage. Let the enforcement of the implement of the amendment come, we will come to know.
Okay, sure. And my second question is, are we looking at any competition intensity with respect to the copper recycling or lead recycling? How are we looking at the competition or a strategy to, cover up the more and more OEMs for the recycled content regulation?
See, competition is definitely going to increase. Kamlesh, you are attending, okay.
You want me to talk? Okay. Competition in the business is always there. The regulation is common for all the manufacturers. It's not a monopoly of GN Resource. It is the open market and there will be competition. And we have some strategies where we do a value-added product or we our scale of operations and other things are there. So competition is welcome and it brings better efficiency and the better ecosystem to generate more volumes. So competition always welcome and it will be there, of course, and it will survive.
Okay, sir.
Is that okay?
It answers my question. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nitin Gandhi from InnoQuest Advisors. Please go ahead. Nitin, are you there? The participant got disconnected. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Krishnan Thampi from Hedge Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. Am I audible?
Yep. Yes.
My question is that previously you have mentioned that you have full hedging policy. Are we still sticking on that policy? And how this is going to impact our margins?
So there's no change in hedging policy. Hedging mechanism is same as usual. There is no change in that. And we stick to 100% hedge model and we don't speculate, and that is what we have in the past also. And this hedging, about the margin, the same, the hedging protect the business margin. Hedging is not a cost center. Hedging is a tool to survive in this business of fluctuation. People generally see that hedging is a cost, additional cost for the business, and people lose some opportunities, but it is not there because this kind of higher volumes and the lower margin business model, we have to protect our margin. That is where the hedging mechanism come, and it's a cost center where we are above the fluctuation of the market. Got it?
MDM gain or loss in last
We have huge limits from the brokers, LME brokers, which cover our M2M variation margin, initial margin. So what are the exchange margins required? I think Hemant can tell, but I think approximately more than $30 million limit we have. That covers our most of time. We don't have to block our cash in the system, and the brokers' limits are sufficient for the fluctuation of the M2M in the market. And also, we have sometimes bank guarantees for the margins call from the brokers. So most of the time, we don't have blocked the cash.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shivam Rathod from MB Investment. Please go ahead. Shivam, are you there? Shivam Rathod, are you there?
Hello, sir. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Sir, I was just asking that what is the revenue guidance for FY 2027?
27, 28.
The question is
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Can I hear you?
What was the guidance for FY 2027 and FY 2028?
I'm not able to hear you at all, and I'm not able to hear the question as well.
One second.
Shivam, can you please use your handset to ask a question?
Yeah. Sir, मैं question चाहता हूँ कि आपका next year का guidance क्या है FY 2027 और 2028 का?
Next year का guidance क्या है FY 2027, 2028 का? और exact numbers guidance cannot be given. मैं आपको exact number पे guidance नहीं दे सकता हूँ कि क्या हमारा profit और क्या हमारा EBITDA आने वाला है. But EBITDA per ton, हमने already पहले बोला है कि इस साल हमारा EBITDA per ton बढ़ेगा, जो हमारे नए plants लगेंगे, उससे बढ़ेंगे, copper का EBITDA बढ़ेगा. और then उन्होंने बताया कि हम कुछ capacity लेने में expand भी कर रहे हैं, और उससे overall हमारी इस साल की growth, जो हमारे हमने कहा है, वो उससे उसके आसपास में जरूर होगी. और exact number guidance देना मेरे लिए possible अभी नहीं हो सकता, क्योंकि इसमें बहुत सी challenges होती हैं. लेकिन company is on the right track of growth, and we can achieve the whatever the projected target.
हमारा next question ये है कि आपने last quarter बोला था कि आपका जो raw material है, वो hedged नहीं है, मतलब 100% hedged नहीं है. तो क्या वो अभी
hedged है? किसने बोला कि मेरा material 100% hedged नहीं है? मैंने कभी ऐसा बोला भी नहीं है कि मेरा material
Last quarter.
100% hedged नहीं.
Last quarter, last जो quarter का earnings call पर ही.
नहीं, नहीं, कभी नहीं बोला. आपने गलत सुना रहेगा. आपने call पर
Impact on, he was talking about the
मेरा 100% माल hedged होता है, और कभी
आपका 100% raw material वो hedged है अभी, last quarter में था.
अभी भी है और आगे भी होगा. हमेशा ये policy company की है, इसमें कोई शक नहीं है. वरना अगर हम hedge नहीं करते ना, आप example लेते, आपकी बात को मैं जवाब देता हूं. अगर मैं hedge नहीं करता last year, तो मेरा profit copper के भाव कहां से कहां चले गए? Copper का भाव $10 था और $14, 40% copper बढ़ गया, तो मेरा 40% profit बढ़ना चाहिए था last year, तो बढ़ा नहीं. इसका मतलब hedge ना, अगर hedge नहीं करता तो मेरा profit कहीं से कहीं चल जाता, और इस साल गिरा भी है तो गिर भी जाता, तो वो तो हुआ नहीं. तो मतलब हम तो
जी. और margins का next quarter, अभी अभी इस quarter में आपका overall जो 4% में, तो वो next quarter में कितना expect करना चाहिए?
So again, मैं number देना मेरे लिए possible नहीं है, but strong, मतलब company के जो आने वाले quarter से काफी strong है, कि lot of expansion जो हम पिछले साल से हम लोग carry forward कर रहे हैं, वो production और वो माल बिकना चालू हुआ. जैसे हमने कहा कि 600 पे हमने anode का trial production कर दिया last quarter में, इस quarter में मेरा मेरा target है कि वो 16 से बनते हैं, हमारा settle हो जाएगा production इस quarter के. तो उससे वो numbers बढ़ेंगे, उससे वो sale बढ़ेगी. तो मैं आने वाले quarter के बारे में बहुत bullish हूँ कि मेरे अच्छे quarter आने वाले हैं. तो सारे expansion जो हमने last year की, तो इस साल में हमारे implement होंगे, और लागू हो जाएंगे, उससे कंपनी की प्रॉफिट और टर्नओवर बढ़ेंगे। मैंने पहले भी कह चुका हूँ, ये बात दोबारा रिपीट कर रहा हूँ कि हमारा क्वार्टर टू क्वार्टर ग्रोथ नहीं आ सकता हमारे धंधे के अंदर। ऐसा नहीं हम ट्रेडिंग करेंगे इसका क्वार्टर अगला क्वार्टर नहीं होता, वो एवरेज ग्रोथ ही आएगी। तो नए प्लांट लगते हैं, नए प्लांट चालू होते हैं और नए प्लांट सेटल होते हैं, उस प्लांट के बाद प्रोडक्शन सेटल होता है, तब वो एक साथ में ग्रोथ आती है। क्वार्टर टू क्वार्टर ग्रोथ हमारे यहाँ पॉसिबल नहीं होती क्योंकि प्लांट लगने में टाइम लगता है। Am I clear to you?
Okay. Okay, sir. Okay. Oh. Oh. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Next.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pawan Kumar from Global Consilient Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Most of my questions have already been answered. I have just one final question regarding about the proposed diversification that we are doing into the telecom infrastructure business, for which you have got approval from the shareholders and the AGM. So what's the strategic rationale behind entering in this segment, and what kind of opportunities do you see over the next 2 to 3 years in terms of revenue and margin profile? Sir, that's my question.
That's a good question you asked. Don't ask this question. Mayank, can you take this question?
So now what happens is, because we are into copper recycling, we also get the contracts for taking out the underground copper cables which are redundant. And this type of contracts we get sometimes. Now, there is another trend that the redundant copper cables are asked by the telecommunication companies to be replaced with the optical fiber cable. So till now we participate in the offers where the redundant cables are desired to be removed by the telecommunication companies, but we do not participate in the auctions where the telecommunication cables, I mean the redundant copper cables, are desired to be removed and replaced with the optical fiber cables. So laying optical fiber cable, what I want to tell you, is that incidental to our existing activities, therefore we got the new object clause added, and this definitely opens up a new line of business. How it will go, it has potential, but how it will go, we have still to work out.
Okay, sir. So, any guidance in terms of revenue and margin profile in this segment for the next 2 to 3 years? How do you see this business growing?
Business growth, what do you say?
Sir, how do you see the business growing in the next 2 to 3 years in terms of revenue and margin profile? Can you guide?
Because this question was attended, was answered. We have the growth path.
Okay,
by virtue of the statutory modification amendments, there is definitely going to be more recycling, and there is definitely going to be more demand of the recycled products, and India is definitely developing and growing as a recycling hub for the world. So volumes will go up. Putting number to it is slightly difficult.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Divesh Chenani from EQTS. Please go ahead.
Can you just check my number again? My call got dropped. Hello. Hello.
Yeah, Kamlesh is called off.
Oh, yes, sir. Kamlesh is connected.
Okay. Hello, sir. So my first question is on the last Q4 call, FY26. You have mentioned that some of your raw material has got stuck to the West Asia crisis at the Dubai port. So what's the update on that?
So that is been stuck. There is no change in the situation. And
okay.
Material is stuck there. Around 23 crores of material, which is in the vessel, but there is no detention and damage will come to us because the material is still lying in the vessel only. The vessel are on the sea. So once this problem gets settled, the vessel will move. And it's completely insured against war. So in certain period, if we
don't get the material, then insurance company will pay back the entire amount. There is no risk for us. It is completely covered.
Okay. So can you just restate the quantify the amount you stated for the raw material?
20-30 crores of that is stuck there. And that will get released. All insurance company will pay shortly to us.
Okay. So my second question is on the incident that happened at your Sipcot facility. So any loss or anything that can impact the volume, any material loss that happened over there, which can impact the volume in the further quarters?
So in my speech, I already told that it is not impacted much when the 10-day production, if it is there, we stopped, but we have enough spare capacity to ramp up that, and we are also expanding the lead, so I don't think we have any I don't think any impact on the production on the longer run overall period.
Okay sir, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that would be the last question for the day, and I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay. So thank you for everyone to join this conference, and thank you for taking the continued interest in the JN Resource. Appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of DAM Capital Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.